Day 10. Pray for God's Spirit on our missionaries. Quote, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:8.
Yeah, you're only going to have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if you're lying or usurping authority or doing any sin, the Holy Spirit's not going to be on you. So you're never going to have power. You need that power in order to get into heaven. That power has to be in you in order to raise you up from the dead on resurrection morning. Okay? All right, then what?
What the world needs today is not only more missionaries, but also the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on everyone whom God has sent out to work for him, in not only the United States, but the foreign mission field. God always gives his servants power equal to the work he asks of them.
Right, God isn't going to tell you to do anything that he won't give you the power to do it with. And then what?
Think of the greatness and difficulty of this work, casting out Satan from his stronghold.
Okay, yeah, the greatness of this work. One is casting out Satan, what?
From his
stronghold. That's part of, that's one of the works. So if you don't have Satan casted out of yourself, then how are you going to have the be able to do the work of casting Satan out of his strongholds? You have to first accept the Word of God and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's God, the Holy Spirit, the gift that God has promised everyone, to cast the stronghold of Satan out of yourself before you're going to be able to cast the stronghold of Satan out of others. By that same power, because the power won't exist in you to do the Lord's work. If you don't do his work, then you're doing the devil's work. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
And pray that...
Number two. Okay, well, that's one. Is think of the greatness and
Think of the greatness and difficulty.
And the difficulties. You have to have the Spirit of God to be able to go through all the difficulties in life and in... approaching Satan, as David approached Goliath in the name of the Lord and in the power of God. Because you're going to have difficulties and you won't have the power to keep you strong through those difficulties if you're a liar or if you're a usurper of authority, a fornicator, or you're living a double life in any way. Oh, I love the Word of God, but I sure love to do this... certain sins as well. One is to cast Satan out of his strongholds. What is this, let's say, the strongholds? Whatever it is that you know that you're doing that is seems to be hard for you, extremely hard for you to let go of. That's the stronghold he has in you. And you have to let him go or let the Lord go, one of the two.
Was to and pray that everyone who takes part in it...
Takes part in what?
Okay.
Takes part in what?
Casting out Satan from his stronghold.
Yeah.
And pray that everyone who takes part in it may receive and do all his work...
Takes part in casting Satan out of his stronghold. And then what?
And do all his work in the power of the Holy Spirit.
This all has to be done. All the work of the Lord has to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. First of all, you have to die in order to be able to do anything in the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got your own code of morals, your own code of ethics, your head is filled full of your own ways and full of attitudes rather than the mind of Christ. How do you ever expect to make it into heaven? Stay out of hell. Okay, go ahead.
Think of the difficulties of our missionaries and pray for them.
Well, if you don't know what a missionary is, you can tell that there's a lot of difficulties in the mission field. We are a mission. And I'm a missionary. And I do have difficulties, and so I need people to pray that the Holy Holy Spirit will give me the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to conduct myself in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that I don't become filled with my own ways, lest I become a castaway, as the Apostle Paul stated that even he would. There are many, many missionaries all over the world. We have missionaries that we are sending, supporting. We need to have people to be anointed by the Holy Spirit so that they can be sent out to areas that there aren't enough to send out to the areas that whereby it's necessary to go. It's necessary to send people many different places, but we need more anointed people that are anointed by the Holy Spirit and that will stay anointed by the Holy Spirit in order for them to be able to not fall when they get where they're going. I just sent out some missionaries tonight into Los Angeles because it's part of the missionary work is to feed people. People get real disenchanted. And then there are people that are undermining the work there by not feeding the people correctly. There was a report that came in that they haven't even had bread there for months. And there's just, I know that the people I'm sending there will make sure that there's bread and all kinds of food there, as there always has been in Los Angeles. We've got, the Lord has sent in a lot of new Christians, new converts, and they're not getting the right thing to eat. The last crew that I had to ask to leave would not give them sheets, blankets, pillowcases. These are not missionaries of the Lord. They wouldn't give them clothes, shoes, boots, glasses when they needed them, medical care when they needed it, dentistry when they needed it. So they had to be gone out of the church. There was Greg Segoe, Tom French, and several others out there. And also it was the chef family that had to be brought out here and reproved. And he got pulled out of there because there were too many complaints on him. Not only, also by his family, his own family. Okay, now what else?
Pray trusting God's faithfulness.
Yes, when you pray, pray that he is going to faithfully answer your prayer. He's going to faithfully hear them because he promised. And he's going to answer them. All right? Then what?
Quote, he is faithful that promised.
Right. He promises and he's faithful to keep his promises. He wants sons that are faithful that keep their promises to him too. When you first get saved, you say you're going to be walking in the Word, the Spirit from now on. If you're not, you're not a son. Simple, isn't it? But people with carnal minds keep trying to rationalize that. It can't be rationalized. It's simple. Too simple to rationalize for a person that has a spiritual brain, but the carnal brain can't rationalize with that. Can't understand that at all. That's just stupidity to them. Okay, then what?
Quote, she judged him faithful who had promised. Hebrews 10:23 and 11:11.
Mm-hmm. Mary trusted the Lord, and other people of the Lord trusted. She was told that she was going to have a baby without knowing a man, and she trusted. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Just think of God's promises to his son concerning his kingdom.
Yeah, you have to think about that. All the promises that God made to his son concerning his kingdom. Because of the promises, Jesus was faithful even to the death of the cross. He didn't want to lose any of the promises or to lose anything that God stated that were his. Okay, then what?
To the church.
So you have to consider that. Think about that. Because that's the only way you're going to be saved, is to believe the promises. You have to look up ahead as a vision without a vision that people perish. If they don't believe God, what he said, and visualize it, you're going to perish. You're going to hell. Because the promises are so much bunk to you. They just stupid. That's not going to happen. Well, to people that think that it won't happen. Okay, then what?
Just think of God's promises to his son concerning his kingdom, to the church concerning the heathen.
Think about the promises that God made to his church concerning what?
The heathen.
The heathen. Yeah, do you know what those promises are? Read it in the Bible. He says that they'll be the saved person's servants, doesn't it? Huh? What are the other promises?
That if they repent, that they would be saved?
Yeah. What else?
That they would go to hell if they didn't repent?
Those are promises. It's for sure, right?
Yeah.
And what else? And if they get saved, God will make them heirs and joint heirs of everything that he has. Oh, those are just words. No, they're not. You have to consider them. If they do what he says, if they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if they let the Lord flow through them, but they'll never die, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Just think of God's promises to his son concerning his kingdom, to the church concerning the heathen, the lost, to his servants concerning their work.
Yeah, what's the promise if they do the work?
That they would be rewarded.
That he'll never leave them or forsake them. And that they're going to heaven. And that they'll have power. And that the fullness of God will dwell in them. Fullness of Christ, which is the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Son. Amen?
Amen.
These are all promises. And if the promises are worthless to you as they were to Esau, then when the time comes where it's all revealed to you what you did and what you didn't do, and you'll be groveling like a maniac trying to make repentance and get right with the Lord. But it's too many days, too many weeks, too many months, and too many years, and tens of years that nothing was done for the Lord. And you'll try to call on him, but he said, but he will not hear you. And then the first chapter of Proverbs says that he'll begin mocking you because you thought you were intelligent by being the way you are, instead of being the way he is. You thought that's far better. And he said that it can't be imitation of him. He really has to be continuing his ministry in you. Or you're not in the ministry, you're not in his body, you're not in his bride. You're nothing but chaff. You're not the New Jerusalem, you're not his church. Okay, then what?
Just think of God's promises to his son concerning his kingdom, to the church concerning the heathen, the lost, to his servants concerning their work, to yourself concerning your prayer.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the Spirit, and the Spirit told you what to pray, and you've kept all of his commandments, the Spirit told you what to pray, and you prayed it, that whatsoever you're going to ask, whichever you're asking, you're going to receive. Amen?
Amen.
So when you're praying for the missionaries, you know it's going to happen. Right?
Amen.
You say, oh boy, if you'll do it for the missionaries, everybody's delighted because then they figure, that's me too, okay? That is made up their mind to serve God rather than their flesh. Okay, then what?
Then pray in the assurance that he is faithful.
Yeah, know that he's faithful who made the promise. If he makes promises, he's not like the people in this world that make promises to you and they don't happen. Or there are circumstances that come up to where it can't happen. The person that made the promises may have good intentions and they would have gone through, but if there's a big icy storm that comes up, and they can't keep the promise. It's like I wanted everybody to go to Los Angeles. I wanted a truck full of tracks to go there, but the devil hindered it because evidently there's not enough people praying to bind the devil, and possibly so many of them that the devil has not been yet bound in themselves. So it started raining over there, and although all the trucks are out of town, I can't get the truck out to Los Angeles right now. I wanted to do it, and I know that the devil is biting. He doesn't want 2 million tracks released in Los Angeles. So we have a truck coming up from Los Angeles, and because we're not leaving until tomorrow night, it's going to take some time with the trailers to distribute all the literature that's on the trailers, and by that time the truck will be here. It's coming from Los Angeles, and we'll, if people pray, we'll get it loaded full of tracks and send it that way. And then the people that have the trailers full of tracks will be just about out then when the truck arrives. And so there won't be any slack in the distribution of the literature. Okay, then what?
Then pray in the assurance that he is faithful.
Yeah, he's faithful. He's the one that promises faithful. Pray, really, when you're praying to him assuredly, that, you know, Lord, if I don't seem to do this, my pride seems to get in the way to do what you want me to do. Lord, remove all pride, even if you have to bust me down, even if you have to, like there was a little girl when we took our boy into the doctor's when he spilled some coffee on his arm, and there was a little girl, they said that they just brought in, and it was beautiful, they brought her picture in, and all of a sudden she got burnt, and all of her skin came off of her face and everything. And she went in there and she was totally ruined for life, as far as looks are concerned. And she cried out to her mother, Mommy, I'm never going to be pretty again. And nobody had anything to answer because that was certainly the truth. So if you pray that God will take your pride away, even if it means doing something to you, because it's better that your body be maimed or your eye taken out or something, a hand cut off, that you go into the kingdom of heaven. It's better that you go into the kingdom of heaven maimed than it is for you to go into the pits of hell whole, right?
Right.
And at any given time, something like that could happen to you. People just walking down the street or outside in their yard, some kid in the neighborhood fires a gun and they're out into eternity because the bullet, nobody aimed at him, but it fell, he went right through their skull or something, or through their heart. They're laying in the backyard, nobody knows what happened to them. They're just laying there dead. Or some people say, that person was real healthy the night before, and all of a sudden they come in, just a young girl or a young boy, and there they are laying dead in their beds. Well, how did they die? Well, the Lord just took their spirit. You don't have to be sick. You can be in perfect health, and the Lord can take your spirit. I was like a bull, and the Lord started pulling me strength-wise, and I was young. The Lord is pulling the breath in and out of me, showing how easy it is for him to just make you die. He says, I play with you, just I take your soul in and put it out, in and out, in and out, back and forth, you know, just at a whim, if I want to. Everything happens the way God wants it to be, except with humans. So if you're not the way God wants you to be, well, then beware. He could take you tonight. Okay, what else?
Then pray in the assurance that he is faithful and only waits for prayer and faith to fulfill them.
Right. He also promises that I'll come upon you like a thief at a time that you will never expect it. You could be digging on something or thinking some evil thought, and he'd come on you just right there. You don't have time to repent, right? He'd just take you out because you've heard so much of the word of the Lord, and you just continued in your same way. And so, it's like the devil. He gets terrified when he hears the name of the Lord, but then in a few minutes later, he'll never serve him. He can't serve him because he hasn't got the Holy Spirit in to do that. Okay, then what?
quote, "Faithful is he that calleth you to pray."
Yeah. He calls us to pray, and not just to pass some time. He called you to pray for things that you want, that the Holy Spirit says that he wants. Why would he have you pray if it didn't? And that's the whole basis of the ministry. Because we don't have anybody to defend us but the Lord. If you don't call him, then you don't have any defense. Because he that said for you to call on him is your defender. And he's the only one that can give you anything in this world. And he's the only one with power. Because all power in heaven and earth belongs to me. That means 100%. Well, what about these guys in power? That's not power. They wouldn't have any power at all if God wouldn't let them have it. That's just temporal power, which doesn't amount to anything. If they have temporal power, or power that is to run down the basketball thing and put a basket in, what is that going to do with the judgment bar of God? He doesn't have life in him. He doesn't have Christ. And what is that going to do? People worshiping the wrong thing. Or somebody's up there singing and they have all thousands or millions of people watching. What good does that do if they don't have life in them? If a person is one of these, I see these different ministers on television. They got a crowd of 1 million people. What good is that going to do? Or 2 million people if they don't have Christ in them? The Lord's going to look at them and say, just look at the great and mighty works we did in your name. Well, the people in the world believe that was of the Lord, but I don't feel any power of God in some of them. And if they depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you. You did what you were was a con artist. You tell them a little bit of truth, and then you'd mix it in with a whole lot of... And then they belong to the one world church for political reasons and for fame and for riches. What's that going to do with the judgment bar of God? Riches didn't do me any good when I was not saved. I didn't feel any... I wondered what was going to happen to me after I die. I said, what if there is a God? What am I supposed to do to please God if there is one? I just want to do something. I mean, if he wants me to shine shoes or, clean the bathroom or whatever, I just want to know what he likes so I can do something to please him during the course of the time that I'm alive, and because I know I'm going to die one of these days, and it could be a lot sooner than I thought, because we had the Watts riots going on there, and I saw a guy killed right in front of my eyes. I was in my brand new Cadillac convertible, and I'm sitting right in front of waiting for the light at J.C. Penney's right in front of there on Hollywood Boulevard. There was a bunch of old people sitting on a bus bench. I guess I was about 29 years old then. And I saw a gun barrel go right out of a guy's window. They shot an old man for nothing. He's just sitting on a bus bench. And he keeled over. Then I was in my apartment and I heard it was about 2 or 3 in the morning, a big blast. And I wondered, what in the world is that? It shook the whole building. And some guy, because he was, something wrong with his brain or something, he had tied a string on a shotgun, mounted it real sturdy, and he tied the string on a door, and he had the shotgun pointed right at his head, and he slammed the door and it shot his head right off, right in the building where I was staying, right down, the next floor down. There was only 2 floors. And about 3 or 4 or 5 days later, somebody said, did you hear that big blast about 5 days ago? And I said, yeah. What was that? And they said, the guy shot his head off down below. And nobody even paid any attention. 3 days later, people come knocking on his door, 3 or 4 days later, and they went in there, and the place was stinking because he is decomposed. And they scraped him up off the walls and took him over to the funeral home. And I thought, man, people can get sick in their head, too, and they don't have the Lord. I didn't have the Lord then. And then finally, the Lord started dealing with me, and I got saved. And then I met up with Sue. And then the ministry started. And I figured I could have been killed right back then anyway. So the Lord's threatened to kill me if I wouldn't do what he said. So I'm living on borrowed time. That's 36 years extra that I lived because I served the Lord. Because I know that he's true. I mean, I knew when he said that if you don't do what I'm saying here, you're going to die and I'm going to send you right to hell. I believe that. Abraham believed God when he told him to go and kill his son. He believed that God would raise him back from the dead because he stated that all the worlds will be blessed from his one son. And all the nations of the world will be blessed from him. And so I knew that because of the way that I was handled in that office, it was about a half a year to a year later that when he started talking to me, I listened. I listened in that office too, when he first talked to me. I knew he would kill me. Anybody that can, I have no power against him. I tried to keep, there was no point in trying to keep my spirit in me. Once your spirit starts going out of your body, and one of these days your spirit's going to go out of your body. Everyone that's listening to this tape. And whatever you did for, if you have the Holy Spirit in you and you've been serving the Lord, you'll be in heaven. If you don't, if you're just playing a game for some ridiculous reason, well, you're going to hell. There's only two places to go. One is heaven, one is hell. There's only two kind of people, sheep and the goats, the saved and the lost. That's all there is. There's nothing else in the world. So people have to decide who you're going to be. You're going to be the saved or you want to be the lost? You want to be the sheep, you want to be the goats. You want to be the redeemed or those that are cursed forever. Okay, what else?
Faithful is he that calleth you to pray, who also will do it, what he has promised.
Yeah, he'll do what he promised he'll do. If you're doing what you promised to him that you'd do. When you get saved, you're promising, okay, I'm going to put all my dead works behind, and I'm going to start walking in the Spirit now. Okay, then what?
Take up individual missionaries.
Pick out an individual missionary. Take him up to the throne with you. Okay, go ahead.
Make yourself one with them.
That doesn't mean get married to them or have sexual relationships with them or anything like that. That means be one in the Spirit. Pray for them. They might be over in Japan while you're over here in the United States. Agree with them. Agree with God because they agree with God. If you see them doing a big work for the Lord, then agree with them and agree with God that you'll pray for them because he's to pray for the missionaries. Be one with them in the Lord. There's all kinds of different people say, well, we're all in the Lord, and that way everybody can just do whatever we want, you know, as long as we're Christians. We can have sexual relationships. That is baloney. The Lord is very strict about that. He wants you to have relationships only with your wife or with your husband. Okay, then what?
Take up individual missionaries, make yourself one with them, and pray till you know that you are heard.
Yeah, don't stop praying until you know you're heard. Wait till you hear him answer yes, okay? Okay, then what?
Begin to live for Christ's kingdom as the one thing living for.
As the one and only thing that you're living for. Live only for the kingdom of the Lord. Put away the kingdom of Satan. Okay? The only one thing to live for is the kingdom, God's kingdom. Okay, and that's it, right?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord.